You have your Bibles, I want to ask you to find Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15, and I'm going to read from two different translations the same passage. Colossians 2, verse 13. Says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, and that's like the quick of your finger, life, made alive. Hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, ordinances or laws, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of triumphing over them in it. Now I want to read that from the NIV. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would open our minds to what you have to say to us, open our hearts to what your Spirit would move us to do, and guide us in this time, in Jesus' name, amen. When it says blotting out the handwriting of ordinances in the King James, the NIV translates that same Greek term, the written code. It actually referred to a certificate that obligated the signer. It was an ordinance that you agreed to follow. And usually it was an ordinance of payments, some type of monetary thing that you were agreeing to. In today's terms, we might just say it was an IOU, a written code, a written out document that you had agreed to, that you had put your name on, and that obligated you. And so Christ took the IOUs from all of us, the spiritual IOUs, and he nailed them to the cross. These things that stood between the signer and the person that he owed it to were taken and nailed to the cross. They were dealt with. They were done away with. And so this morning, I want to talk about how our burdens, our IOUs, if you will, are nailed to the cross because of what Jesus has done for us. There is this burden of sin that has been nailed to the cross in our behalf. Jesus took it. And when he was nailed to the cross, he took it with him, and therefore it was nailed to the cross for us. He identified with us as he went to the cross, and so therefore we can say our sin was nailed to the cross because he was nailed to the cross for our sin. Jesus identified with us, and I guess I need to have this if some of you can hear me. Jesus identified with us, and he went as our legal representative with power of attorney that was given to him by Abraham back when Abraham made a blood covenant with God. That's probably too deep for some of you, but let me just say, he had power across, and he took it for us and nailed it there so that we no longer have to carry it. Well, I'm just a fumble today. I want to use the handheld, maybe. There we go. So he took it and nailed it to the cross for us. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there's none of us that can say that we didn't have something that needed to be nailed to the cross. All of us have had that guilt. In fact, we're slaves to sin without Jesus. But if you're a Christian, then the Holy Spirit has brought you to a realization of your lost condition at some point in your life, and you have recognized your need for a Savior, and you have accepted what he did in your behalf with power of attorney, taking your sin to the cross and nailing it there. We sing that old song, "Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary." Well, they truly were. Our burdens were lifted at Calvary. Jesus came unto us and took our burdens away. He said, "I'll remove your sin as far as the east is from the west." And I'm glad he didn't say as far as the north is from the south, because you can only go north so far and then you have to start going south. But you can go east forever, and you can go west forever. So he says, "I will remove your sin as far as the east is from the west," and our burdens were lifted at Calvary. You know, in the ancient city of Venice, there was a bridge, and I have a picture of it here, called the Bridge of Sighs. And at one end of this bridge, there was a courtroom. And at the other end was a dungeon. And above the door to the dungeon, as you were crossing the bridge, leaving the courtroom and going towards the dungeon, above the door into the dungeon were the words, "Abandon all hope, ye that enter herein." Just give it up. You're never getting out. So try to picture a man who has been sentenced to spend his life in that dungeon as he walks across the bridge, as he takes his last long look at the sun and at the blue sky. As he bids farewell to all of his loved ones, knowing he's going to spend the rest of his life abandoning all hope, never to see the light again. And a court official runs up to him and stops him and presses a paper into his hand. And when he looks at the paper, he finds that it is written. And he does have hope. His eyes are soon dimmed by tears. He's free at last. His sorrow has been turned to joy. He goes home to live a new life with his family. Well, that's what Jesus did for us. We were headed to a place called hell. And you truly abandon all hope when you enter in there. You don't get out. And yet Jesus has caught us on our way there. And he says, I have a pardon for you. I've taken your sin and I've nailed it to the cross. Many people are slaves to sin. And we call such sins obsessions. They get obsessed with a specific sin and they can't get away from it. They just can't stop it. I was watching a Western the other day and James Garner was, I think it was something about some gunslinger, and James Garner was given a bunch of money, and first thing he did was his head starts spinning and he goes and gambles it all away. And then he was given some more money and the camera does this funny thing, and next thing he knows he's gambling it all away and he's totally broke. And then at the end of the show, he gets $10,000 and he takes it back to the gambling and he gambles it. He just has a habit. He can't quit. He can't get away from it. He gambles everything he gets. Well, some of you may know some people like that. They have an obsession and they just can't stop. They just can't get away from it. The lost man is a slave to sin. Sin has a death hold on him, and he just can't get away from it. You know, if sin was mud, then when we were lost, we were like hogs because we loved to get in that mud and wallow in it. We loved to get in sin and just wallow in sin, and we didn't care. In fact, the more we sinned, the more belligerent we were with it, the bolder we were in sin, it seemed like the better it was. But then when we get saved, our attitude changes. And now we're like a cat with mud. You ever watch a cat when it gets mud on it? What does it do? It jumps out of it immediately and starts trying to clean itself off. Cats can't stand to have mud on them. And so we get a new nature. We had an old nature that was like a hog in the mud. We get a new nature that's like a cat in the mud. We can't stand it anymore. When we find sin in our life, we want to get rid of it. So the problem is we're not able to overcome sin on our own. Men are not able to overcome sin by themselves. They need help. And only Jesus can break our obsessions. Some people have a problem with alcohol. And I'm not going to try to tell you that you're sinning if you ever take one drink of alcohol. But I am telling you that if you drink too much, the Bible definitely calls it a sin. A few years ago, I knew a young man who was an habitual drunkard. I visited him and tried to talk to him, tried to help him. Nope. He even told me that the doctors had told him that his drinking was going to kill him. He and I had sort of a special relationship. He was like in his early 40s and I was in my 50s. And I was his pastor. And he played the guitar in our church. He didn't lead music, but he helped. He played the guitar. And his mother would call me. And she'd tell me, he's at the bar. And I'd go down to the bars until I'd see his car. And I'd pull in where I found his car. And I would go in the bar. And the minute I would walk through the door, he would holler out, "Hello, Pastor!" And the whole bar would get quiet. They'd look at me like, "What's going to happen?" And I'd say, "Come on." I'd call his name. Let's go. And so he'd go out and get in my car. He wasn't driving home. Get in my car, and I would take him home. And I did that for him several times. But one day, his mom called, and she told me that this young man was at the foot of her bed. She'd woke up in the middle of the night and found him laying at the foot of her bed, and she couldn't get him to wake up. And I said, "Don't call me, call the ambulance." I said, "I'll be right over there, but you call the ambulance." And they came and got him, and he died before he got to the hospital. He literally drank himself to death. Now, he had good resolutions, but his resolutions to quit drinking, they just didn't last. He couldn't hold out. He couldn't stop on his own. He needed what some call a higher power. He needed the real higher power. He needed the Holy Spirit. He needed some help. Jesus was willing to take his burdens, but this young man would rather try to drink his burdens away instead of taking them to Jesus. You see, Jesus doesn't do things fast enough for some people. They want an instant relief. And Jesus doesn't do instant relief. He lets us learn patience. But he does bring relief. He does bring help. I've never had a drink in my life. Never. And I've survived. And I'm a happy guy. Never needed it. But it's sort of like once you get on it, you can't quit without some help. That's how obsessions are. We had men all over our church in Bosque Farms who had been alcoholics. We had probably 10 or 12 that had been alcoholics. And they were totally delivered. And they could testify, and they could tell this young man how they got delivered, but he wouldn't go to the cross with it. He'd sit down with a bottle, and he wouldn't get up till that bottle was gone, and then he might just go get another one. And he didn't drink beer or wine. He drank the hard stuff. Obsessions. And alcohol is definitely an obsession. Another obsession that people fight is drugs. We had a young mother who came to our church, and her husband helped in our bus ministry. He didn't drive a bus, but he helped work on the buses at times. The guy that was our main bus mechanic would ask him to come and help him. And so his wife had a drug problem. They had two beautiful children. Two little girls. And she was a very beautiful young woman herself. And she tried to hide her sin from her husband. She didn't tell him that she had a drug issue. Now, in Albuquerque, New Mexico, there's a certain street where the prostitutes go. And they go there and sell their body, and then they buy drugs. Well, there on that street selling her body. But she told him that she wasn't doing drugs. She lied to him. So she was destroying her family, she was destroying her marriage, and she was destroying her own life because of her drugs. And yet she was not willing to take it to the cross. She wouldn't leave her drugs. Last time I preached this sermon, her husband and her two children were sitting in the auditorium as I preached this sermon. And I talked about this, and they knew exactly who I was talking about. But she left her husband. She left her two children because she had an obsession that she couldn't get the victory over. She was in bondage. She had a burden, a huge burden. She couldn't get the victory over it because she wouldn't take it to the cross and leave it there. Now, back in Las Lunas, New Mexico, we also had a friend whose name was Charlie Sanchez. And Charlie and I were good buddies. He used to come to a church that I had in Berlin for a while. And Charlie and I would go out soul winning together. And everybody in Valencia County knew that Charlie had burned his brain out on drugs. They knew he messed himself up on drugs. And yet, he got saved and delivered. And God turned him around, and his mind started coming back to him. And he eventually became a pastor of a church. When I first met him, he could hardly put two sentences together. But he got saved, he got delivered, and he loved Jesus. And he told everybody about Jesus. And let Jesus deal with it. And got victory. Our burdens are nailed to the cross at Calvary. And we need to leave them there. You know, another burden that a lot of people have . They knew it was killing them. They knew it made their car stink, their house stink, their job stunk. As long as they had tried to stop them, they were not able to do it. But once they took it to the cross, they could leave it and get away from it. And then he told me of many, many Christian men who come to him for counseling who have problems with sexual addictions and mostly pornography. And the temptation is everywhere. It's everywhere. He said this one guy told him that he just watches TV and the MyPillow guy comes on and there's something about that sexual addiction. It's on TV, it's in the magazine racks, it's in the movies. It's an addiction that steals your joy, robs your peace of mind, causes you to lust, causes you to sin, and comes between you and God. Comes between you and your mate. And I'm here to point you to the cure. His name is Jesus. You don't have to be bound by sexual addictions. You don't have to be bound by pornography. You don't have to be bound by habits. You can be honor-bound to God. Our burdens are nailed to the cross. That's where we want them to be. Amen. Many more could be mentioned. I'll just throw a few up there. Gossip. Some people are addicted to it, obsessed by it. Every day they want to go and lean over the gossip fence and find out what the latest gossip is. Lying. Speaking of gossip, I have some pastor friends that I meet with. There's seven of us here in Sterling, seven pastors that meet, and everybody is talking about private sins one day, and I was the last one, and I said, yeah, my private sin is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. Jesus sets us free from our obsessions. Stealing. You ever known somebody that was just obsessed with stealing? they'd steal just because they wanted to, not because they needed it, just because it was something that they could do. This morning, are you fighting a losing battle with sinful habits? Is sin destroying your life? Do you need help from the higher power, from the Holy Spirit, from the greater one? We always talk about greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, how about letting that greater one who is in you have his way in you? Come to the cross. The third point is oppressions. These are another type of burdens that Jesus took to the cross. Oppressions. Burden of sorrows. Every person has some sorrow. Some burdens just tend to break our hearts. They just tear us up on the inside. The only way to have it mended is to take it to the cross. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. How many of you know the story of Horatio Spafford? Okay. Horatio Spafford is the guy that wrote the song that we sang a few moments ago, "It Is Well With My Soul." Horatio Spafford had suffered a fire, and he had lost most of his wealth in the financial crisis of 1873. He sent his wife and four daughters on a trip to France, and on their way, the ship was struck by another ship, and it sank. And of the 225 passengers on board that ship, only 87 of them survived. Mrs. Spafford, when she got to Europe, was among the survivors, but their four daughters perished. Can you imagine losing your kids? So she telegraphed back home, and she said, "Saved alone, children lost, what shall I do?" So Mr. Spafford immediately left for France to go be with his wife, to join his grieving wife and bring her back to Chicago. And as they passed over the place where the ship had gone down, he wrote this hymn: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." Can you imagine you've just lost your children? You're grieving. And yet, he was able to write this song from the middle of his grief. And you know, often when we suffer a great loss, when somebody that we love dearly is taken from us, or something that we love dearly, like our health, is taken from us. We begin to wonder, what did I do to bring this on? What did I do to cause this? So at a time when he must have been wondering if there was some hidden sin in his life that had brought this tragedy on himself, when he was wondering why he had been punished so severely, he found the assurance in God's word. And that's when he wrote the third verse. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. God had assured him that his sin was nailed to the cross. It wasn't his sin that had caused this tragedy. It wasn't his fault. Jesus took his sin away. So I want to ask you this morning, are you bound by worry? Does anger grip your soul? Do you have self-pity or jealousy or other issues of oppression this morning? Would you bring those burdens to the cross and see those things nailed to the cross through Jesus Christ? Nailed to the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he hath made him to be sin for us. You catch that? Jesus became sin for us. He became our sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He became our sin so that we could become his righteousness. I don't know if you can grasp that or not, but it is a powerful, powerful, powerful message. He became our sin so that we might be his righteousness. Our sin was taken to the cross. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Did you catch that? Jesus carried our lack of peace to the cross. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. We can have peace if we see those things that take our peace. We see those things on the cross, because that's where he carried them. That's where he took them. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, an iniquity is not just a single sin. An iniquity is a bent towards sin. An iniquity is like an obsession. It's like something that people continually do. And Jesus took our iniquities, laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our bad habits were put on him, and he carried them to the cross. So I want you to see any obsession that you have, any oppression that you have, any sin that you felt guilty for, I want you to see that on the cross this morning, because that's where it went. Jesus took it there. See your sin on the cross. See your obsession on the cross. See your oppression on the cross. He carried it to the cross. Last of all, he also carried our sickness to the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. By his stripes we were healed. He carried our sickness and disease. So we should see our sickness on the cross. If you have sickness, I'm going to ask you to write it down in a little bit and come and tack it on the cross. Put it on the cross. See it there. We'll never be totally free of all sickness this side of heaven. But he did take it. And because he took it, ultimately we will be free from all of it. Perfect healing will be when we see Jesus. But we get the first fruits of it now. So, if that's how things are, what does the Father see? When the Father looked at the cross, what did he see? He saw our sin because Jesus carried our sin, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. When the Father looked at the cross, he saw our lack of peace because the chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus when he went to the cross. When the Father looked at the cross, he saw our bad habits, our obsessions, because our iniquities were laid upon Jesus at the cross, according to Isaiah 53:6. When the Father looked at the cross, he saw our sicknesses, because by Jesus' stripes we were healed. Now I have some pencils and some paper here at the front. I'm going to ask you all to come in just a moment and to take a piece of paper and write your burden on it. Whether it's a sin or an oppression or an obsession or whatever it might be. And I want you to tack it to the cross today. And don't worry, we're going to put it in a brown paper bag here in a little bit, and they're going to go to the fireplace. Nobody's going to read them afterwards. But I want you to put them on the cross today as a point of contact of faith. Realize that Christ has carried the guilt of your sin so that you don't have to carry it yourself. Christ has carried your iniquities. Christ has carried your sickness and disease. Christ has carried your burdens to the cross and left them there. And you have a loving Heavenly Father who pleads with you to cast your cares on him because he cares for you. So I'm going to ask Clyde if you'll come now. We can turn the video off and come now, and we'll take this down where you can reach it, and we have the note cards and pencils down here in the front.